We'll go through all of these. Remember Hal's and the co-workers. Remember our co-workers in chapter 5. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 13, you should be able to go down. We already have Josh and April said they're going to finish it. I was going to have Josh come up here and speak, but April pushed him out of the way and said she wanted to. So that ain't going to happen. So anyways. Brotherly kindness. Let me just start off with this. Let me ask you this. Why do you think the Lord put in here that we need to add brotherly kindness? Why do you think? What's the reason you think that the Lord said that? Okay, good. Does it come natural? You said a word at the end of that.
Sometimes.
You know, it's easy to be nice to people that are nice to you. It's easy to be kind to people that are kind to you. It's easy to be kind to little bitty kids or old people, you know, isn't it? But it's sometimes it's tough to be kind.
Our hearts are wicked.
Okay.
Stop contention with our neighbors.
I'm sorry?
Stop contention with
we have a problem with neighbors. Not today, anyway, right? Anyway, yes. Okay. We're missing one word. We got the kindness part. Okay, Cheryl?
Well, I don't have one word, but it's let your light so shine before men. So, because the non-Christians watch.
The non-Christians watch. Now listen, and she's there, but you got to remember, the non-Christians watch how we treat each other. See, we're missing a word there. Brotherly kindness. See, you know, let's be honest. I have seen Christians more caring for unsaved people than for saved people. For unchurched people, people that don't even go to church, family members. I have seen family members almost try to attack me when they will say, "Mom, my family goes to this church." I said, "Well, pray that they'll hear the word of God and understand that they're in the wrong church." And I get attacked. I'm thinking, hold on a second, you're protecting someone that's going against the word of God. I wasn't being mean. I was just saying, I hope and pray that they start reading the Bible and find out they're in the wrong church. I don't know about you folks, but I was stark raven mad when I found out, when I started reading the Bible and found out the truth in the Bible from the church I was going to was lying to me. And I don't know about anybody else. There's a lot of, and I know I hate to do the political, but we're in that area, the political scene. I'm sure there's a lot of these liberal Democrats that are very mad at the Democrat Party because they lied to them. A lot of stuff they lied to. And Biden's in real good health. Run circles around us all. You must be slow. Amen. But let's remember, brotherly kindness. We should do good to all, especially the brethren. And so let's be careful. We have co-workers we can't stand, but we still work for with them on the job site. We don't quit the job because we don't, one of the employees, we don't really like how they wear their hair or that they hung their coat up in my spot in the break room. But we'll do it at church. It's amazing how people will leave over someone saying something to them. We need to get back to the old sticks and stones. They break my bones, but words will never harm me. We need to kind of get back to that in America. We're so sensitive and weirdos today. So we're on page 2. I'm not going to go over. We're going to be here all day if I do. But we're on page 2. Look at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And to esteem thee... Now, he's talking about the brethren in verse 12. We see that. And to esteem them very highly for their work's sake and be at peace among yourself. So, first of all, we need, and we're on Roman numeral 2b, we need to remember our co-workers. We need to esteem them. They ought to be important to us. Amen? Let's be honest. I remember years ago, I remember years ago, Norma Carter said this. She goes, "I see the church as my family, not my blood relatives." Church members become closer to you because you deal more with them and more for them, and they do more for you than your family does. I love my family, but I'm telling you, you folks I'm with more than my family. I do more work and we spend more time together and we get closer in our, a lot of times in your relationships, because you're with the Lord and the Spirit bonds. And so because of that, that helps us out in our lives. So we need to esteem them. Not only that, be at peace with them. We ought to be peacemakers as much as lieth in you. Romans chapter 12, be at peace. Especially the brethren. Come on, amen? You remember what it says in the book of 2 Corinthians? It's talking about, this is one of the reasons why I believe the church is one of the highest authorities on this earth, because it says, how dare you go to the law when you have a problem with your brethren? Take care of it. The least esteem. I mean, little bitty Bradley and Silas ought to be able to solve. Adderay ought to be able to solve this problem. Come on, that's what he's saying. You know, go to the church and take care of it. Listen, the Bible says if they take your coat, give them your cloak also. I mean, so you lose a coat, you don't lose a friend. A co-worker, I got this years ago. Again, I don't know. I get them 4:06, so a long time ago. That's a few days ago, isn't it? Job, once the most respected and renowned man of his day, lamented. Listen to what he said. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just and upright man is laughed to scorn. Some one of our day has made the caustic comment, Christians are the only ones who shoot their wounded. A lesson can be learned from the book of Job is how to respond to those who suffer or fall. So people that fall into sin or have problems in their life. I don't know about you folks. I found out something. My wife lets me know. I'm not perfect. Oh, you know too? You've been talking. We're not perfect people. Does anybody have something? Don't tell me what it is. That you know someone and they do something that annoys you. Okay? I don't know of a person. I mean, I don't know one person that doesn't have one little kinky thing that they do that makes other people go, what are you doing? Why are you that way? I know people talk too softly. I know people talk. My wife and I was going through. We just get a kick out of the reactions of the election. So we're catching a couple of them. And there's this one young lady that has a pod. And I turn it on just to say, that's Brianna. 180 miles an hour, and every 10th word you catch. You add them up, you have a sentence. And she could be on there 20 minutes, you might catch two sentences. This girl just flies. And I looked at Brenda and said, man, she's Ben Shapiro on steroids. And you have to put it on slow, pause, and you push pause, and then push fast forward and get the speed right, you know, so you can listen to it. I wish you could do that on volume, that'd be good. But everybody's got a weird thing, amen? People around us are hurting. There are those whose feet have slipped on the pathway of the cross. They do not need others to stand back to criticize and condemn. They need us to stretch out our helping hand, uplift them, and to be friends in need. Let us be on the road of life. And our prayer be that of Charles Wesley, who said this: help us to help each other, Lord. Each other's cross to bear, let us his friendly and aid afford, and fill his brother's care. Help us to build each other up, our little stock improve, increase our faith, confirm our hope, and perfect us in love. You know, listen, Christians, let's just be honest. We need a little bit of work on our brotherly kindness and peace. Okay, look at verse 14, and this is where we left off last week. Now we exhort you, brethren, here it is, warn them that are unruly. Okay, come on, amen. We are missing today in this instance, and I see it in child upbringing. I see parents do this, and there's some of you that are sitting here today, I've watched you do this. We are not anymore in the train up your child. We're in the let's monitor our children to make sure they're safe. We buy things to keep our kids safe. We buy cabinet thing, so where you can't get in the cabinet where all the poisonous things are at. You have locks on doors or where you... Have you ever seen them childproof locks that children can get in but adults can't? I mean, you're sitting there doing this and a kid comes up and goes, whack, or yanks it right off, pulls it like, man, you can see that kid's been working. Amen. Well, my wife and I saw a Last Man Standing one where they had a lock on the toilet. So the kid couldn't... What kids has fallen in the toilet and drowned that you know of? I mean, that's the stupidest thing. And if they're stupid enough to get a drink of water out of that, go for it. They haven't learned not to eat the yellow snow. Amen. But isn't that what we do? We monitor our kids. We want them safe. We got everything safety, 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 safety. As long as you're safe, I'm okay. No, we're supposed to train them. As a pastor, I had someone, my wife and I was, well, my wife started it. I was shopping, and I'm a little bit like this at times. Let's get in, get it done, get out of here. I got other things got to do. So I had my list, boom, 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 I'm getting out. Well, all of a sudden I hear, do you folks go to church anywhere? I go, oh, my wife's trying to be spiritual. I'm in a hurry, and she wants to be spiritual. So I come back around, and she's introducing them to our church, and the lady, so she looks at me and she goes, what do you think about homosexuality? I said, love the sinner and hate the sin. She goes, good. We should stop judging. I thought, oh boy, shut up. Because I'm gonna speak. I said, we still need to tell them what's right and wrong. Amen. We don't have to be mean about it, but we need to tell them. We need to warn them. I mean, they got warning labels everywhere. Why can't we do that in church? When you see someone starting to slip into sin, instead of sitting back and waiting for them to fall, why don't you walk over and say, hey, I've been there. Don't do that. You don't have to, don't yell it across the church. Amen. Stop that! I still remember teaching in Sunday school back in Missouri, and a lady in the back, one of our teachers, raises her hands. I was preaching, a counselor, she raised her hand, she goes, these kids are being loud. Yeah. Now that you disrupted the class, why can't you just lean over and shh? Amen? Or I would have went, whack, if it was a guy. A girl I wouldn't have. Well, maybe. All right, so we should warn them. But keep reading here. He said, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble, minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Come on, amen? We just talked about patience. They were goofing off, but we need to be patient. Okay. How many of you remember when you was a child and you said, your dad, mom said, we're going to go to the park or we're going to go swimming or we're going to get ice cream. Sit there for a minute. And now, how many of you knew that that minute was like 5 days? You know, us Christians are that way. Lord, give it to me, and when do you want it? Now. Some of you wanted it yesterday. Now. We're impatient, and we're impatient with people. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, well, I forgave them, but they didn't change. I said, well, how long ago did you forgive them? Yesterday. We're supposed to give space to repent. I don't know how long that space is. Someone asked me, how long is that space? I have no idea. Hey, come on, amen. You know what I look for? Steps towards repentance. Question I have for you. How quick am I supposed to forgive when someone says they repent? Immediate. I had a young man call me and says, my church won't let me back in because I repented and I'm going through a 6-month probation. Man, I didn't know that we were the law. Man, yeah, that's what I said. Book, chapter, and verse. You know what the Lord said? Forgive them. They repent, forgive them, start all over. Slate's clean. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't do that to us? I forgive you. Now I'm watching you. Yeah, man, alive. What a great God we have. Let us be that way. Come on, amen. Look at verse 15. Now we need to remember how. How do I do this? Okay, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. So how do I do this? How do I get loving kindness? How do I esteem them, have peace, and warn them, and be patient with them? I'm being patient. I I'm messing with you, Miriam. I'm just messing with you. Patient. Sorry. My bad. That was naughty. There, I got me. Okay, we'll go on. They're supposed to render no evil for evil, right? But what is our, come on, what is our normal response when we have someone do something or say something bad? We get upset. We respond back in the same manner. Am I right? Have you ever done this? Now, let's be honest. Have you ever done this? Oh, the Lord will take care of them. Anybody ever done that? Be careful with that, amen? Because when you usually, when you're saying that, is Lord, you're saying, Lord, sick them. That's what you're saying. You're saying, Lord, sick them. But the Lord may go, I don't want to sick them. I just want to touch them on the side of the hand. I want to, they need comfort. What does the Lord say? Be good to them that persecute you. That, oh, like pouring coals of fire on their head. You ever nice to someone that's mean to you? Years ago, I found this business, and I'm going to give the name, and so be patient. If he ever shows up at church, be nice to him. I'm not gossiping, but it is. His name was Gavin. He started Around Again. And he started in Port Angeles, I mean in Squim, in a store that they, I think they had some kind of exercise, girly exercise class in there after a while. Then it ended up being like, what's that place that restores houses when they're on fires? And No, stores, Service Pro, whatever. That's what's there now. But that building right there used to be Around Again 16 years ago. And I walked in there, and I needed some hinges for some cabinets for the church downstairs. And so I went in there and got all these hinges, and he charged me $1 a set. I thought, that's pretty good. So I pulled out and got all the sets that he had that matched, and we got them in the kitchen downstairs. And I met him there, and I loved the store, and I started going about once a week. Now it's about twice a week. But I go in there, and I've been going there ever since. When I first told him that I was a pastor, he just, I don't agree with that. I don't believe in God, and I don't agree with church, and man, he was mean to me at first, but I just kept smiling, kept going, kept telling him, you know, that doesn't mean I don't love you and that you don't need Christ. I said, you need to study it out. And now he's very nice to me. I poured heaps of coals on him. That wasn't my flesh, because my flesh wanted to go, well, you want to be stupid? Go ahead. But the Spirit goes, shut up, Dan, and just let the Lord speak. Amen. None of you have been there, I know. None of you. It says right there. But follow after that which is what? Good. So that's where the funny look is there. That's some of you don't know that, but it's a old show. It's Kelly's Heroes, Kilroy. That's a Kilroy look. Anyway, so evil for good. We should give good. So you have a brother or sister in Christ that badmouths you. You have someone that says something bad about you. Be nice to them. Be good to them. That's brotherly kindness. That's how we do it. That's how we show forth brotherly kindness instead of wanting to attack back. I had a couple talking the other day. It says, well, I feel this. And they said, well, I didn't do it. Well, my lands, I don't know how many times people thought I did something wrong that I didn't. But I found out something in my Christian experience. If someone's offended, they're offended. You can't tell them they're not offended. You just got to come down with what made you offended and let's take care of it. And I've had, well, maybe I should have said it better, but that's not what I said. This is what I said. Now, does that offend you? No, that doesn't offend you. Well, that's what I said, or at least meant to. Anybody mean to do something? Your brain says bologna sandwich, but you come out with ham. You ever done that? My wife and I have that disagreement. You understood the whole totality. I didn't mean ham sandwich. But anyway, but we do that sometimes. Come on, amen? And so let's be careful with it. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Whoa. We as Cornerstone Baptists, well, one of the things that I have been... This is what I was told when I first started the church. At Blue Ridge, we had a lot of blue-collar businessmen and farmers. And I found out that my pastor was a farmer, grew up on the farm, and that he ended up going to UMKC. He didn't have a lot of money, so he went to UMKC and got some classes on history. He was a history buff like I am, and Christianity, and then he went to one semester at Baptist Bible College and started preaching. And so he was a blue-collar businessman, and his church was full of blue-collar businessmen. And he says, Pastor, Dan, you will find out that your church will take on your personality. Man, are we in trouble. But there's one thing that I have heard from every preacher who's visited our church. Your church is excited, lively, and happy. Now that part of me, I don't mind you having. If you just ignore the rest. We ought to be people that rejoice. So someone stabs you in the back. Come on, amen. Just rejoice that, hey, man, God, get a hold of their heart. Help them. I pray that I can make my life in such a way that they'll pull the knife out someday. Amen. And so keep that in mind. So it's tough to do, but we need to do that. Not only that, look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Whoa, come on, let's be honest. A lot of us speak to man before we speak to God when we're annoyed. It would be a good idea. You know how that used to be? If you got anger, count to 10. Well, I've been to 100 and still got mad. So I tell my wife, if I walk away, please let me walk away. Because I am praying at that time, Lord, help me not say something that, you know, they say happy wife, happy life. There is some truth to that. If your wife is upset, you're in trouble the rest of your life. So you don't want her upset. So that is truth. And I don't want to upset her. So if I'm walking away, I'm praying, Lord, help me. When I go back, not to say something dumb, say something contentious to her. I don't want to keep fighting. Come on, amen. So it'd be a good idea to say, Lord, help me be kind. Because I tell you, there's a lot of grumpy Christians in the world. What do they say? You wear your emotions on your sleeve. Everybody knows you're about ready to snap at somebody. That's a good time for prayer. And it says pray without ceasing. We should be in constant communication. How come you have a cell phone? Come on, tell me why. Why do people have a cell phone? Okay. How many emergencies have you had in the last 10 years? One, maybe. But that is the reason why most people said. But that's not the reason they have it. Accessibility. People can get a hold of you all the time. Except for someone like me that tries to get a hold of you and I can't. I hear people all the time say, oh, you need a cell phone so we can get a hold of you. You know, I've been calling you for a week and I haven't got a hold of you once. And you're the one with a cell phone. But that's the reason why we get it. Accessibility, amen, not only to other people, come on, amen, but also to the internet. We could actually walk around with a computer on our shoulders, in our pocket or on our hand. Am I right? Guess who's accessible 24/7? God, Jesus Christ. God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ought to talk to Him. Man, when you're getting ready to buy something, it'd be smart to stop and go, Lord, is this smart? Or do you want me to wait? And if there comes a doubt in your mind, the best thing to do is wait. And don't jump ahead when there's doubt. Doubt is sin. And so don't jump ahead. But we don't ask the Lord. Let's talk. If someone does something wrong and the first thing you want to do is start hollering, getting mad, you need to stop and go, Lord, help me. Come on. Give me the strength to get over this. Now, look at verse 18. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Lord, that my brother and sister in Christ is talking bad about me. That's what it says. Do you know what it says? In everything. So, recently I had a young man that I was trying to train, and he gave me some information on his viewpoint of the second coming. And his viewpoint is that he's looking at the signs that lead up to the Christ coming. And so Christ, since these signs lead us to the Antichrist sitting on the throne, then the second coming of Christ only comes in the middle of the tribulation period. And I said, well, I'm not looking for a sign. You know why? The Lord said, I'm only going to give you one sign. What sign was that? Someone tell me, what sign did Jesus say? He told them, I'll give you one sign, Gary. The sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to get, quit looking for signs. I'm looking for what? The Lord, I'm out of here. That's why I do rapture practices. You call them jumping jacks. I call them rapture practices. Amen. Okay, Lord, now. Nope. Okay. Okay, I guess I'll wait. But you know what I told him? Thank you. I was, at first, I went, I give him the word of God, and this is what you come up with. And then I went, this is what I said in my mind. I went, Lord, hold on. It makes me study. So I even wrote it out. Thank you for just pressuring me on my beliefs. Here they are. I just wrote out 3 pages of proofs of the scriptures that the Lord's going to come again. Then the tribulation is going to happen. So anyways, let's be careful. Let's be thankful for it. Look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. What does that tell you? So write that in there. Quench not the Spirit. What does that tell you? What does the word quench mean?
Smother.
To smother, okay? Stifle. Put out. Cut off. Hold down. Hold back. So the Spirit's trying to... Now, come on, let's be honest. Do you think the Holy Spirit, when your brother or sister in Christ is doing something wrong, either to you or to the church, that he said, okay, attack them. Sick them. Beat them up. Chew them out. Judge them improperly. Holy Spirit's not telling us to do that. Holy Spirit says, calm down. Consider yourself, lest you also fall. Come on, amen. Speak to them kindly. Help that person. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit always moves to that which is good. And so let's don't quench it. When the Holy Spirit's moving us, don't quench it. If it's an evil spirit, kick it out of there, amen. But if it's the Holy Spirit, don't quench it. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. No, what do you say? Prophesy. The word prophesying means foretelling. Foretelling the word of God. Don't despise me teaching you or someone teaching you or the scriptures teaching you about brotherly kindness, about biblical things. You know, I've heard this over in my life all the time. Two people having a dispute and you go, hey, the scripture says love one another. Well, I can't love them. What is that? That's despising prophesying. I can't forgive them. You just despise prophesying. The Lord said, forgive. Rebuke, then forgive. How many times? 490 in one day, same sin. I haven't had anybody hit that yet. So we got to do that. Despise. Look at what it says in verse 21. The Bible says in verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That gives us two of them here. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. How many of you heard, and I know this is political, but it heard that Donald Trump loves white supremacy? Now, how many of you searched it to see if it was true and found out it was false? See, but there's a lot of people that didn't prove it. I had someone come to the church and then I preached a message and they quit coming. I went and visited them about a week later and they said, well, I'm not coming back because you said this. And he goes, I've been telling anybody in the church that. And so we lost 2 or 3 members because of that saying of this one person said. And so I went to the members and said, did you check it out? Well, even if that's not true, there's still probably other things. So in other words, you just wanted to quit. You didn't even, what they said was false. Amen. And so some did go and search it out and came back and stayed faithful to the Lord until they passed away and went to glory. But you got to prove things. Come on. Amen. Prove it out. Find out what it is and hold fast on that which is what? Good. We don't do that. We hold on fast on that which is bad or evil. Come on. I wonder how many of us in our minds have a little list about somebody. We should never have that. Amen. Get rid of that list, you Irish men. Just go ahead and cross off all the names and throw it away. You know, And crazy. But I know people that listen. I still remember a businessman out. He called me up and said, Dan, I need you to come fix a building. So I went there and I had to put some rack brackets in and some braces and redo the stairs. And he said, he came in later on to pay me. And he goes, I want to just thank you for coming to help me. I'm going through a hard time. I said, what do you mean? He goes, my wife wants a divorce. Been married 25 years. Wants a divorce. I said, what's going on? He goes, I thought everything was fine. But she walks up to me after 25 years and hands me a spiral notepad about that big. And in it was everything I did wrong or did not do right from the time we got married till the last week. So she had been keeping a tally of every. He didn't take out the trash when he said he would. He forgot her birthday present and was 2 days late. I mean, wrote it all down, and he's looking through like, you got to be. Why didn't we take care of it? I don't know about you, but we could probably keep a tally book about our mates and come up with a pretty good list if we really wanted to. We could probably do the same thing with me as a pastor or with another church member. That's not the way we should be. Come on, amen. Hold fast to good things. Look at verse 22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I still remember many, many years ago, and this has really nothing to do with brotherly kindness, but it was something. I had I get a phone call. I'm in Union Gap, well, actually Yakima, at a conference. And I called Brenda to see how things were going because she was at home with the children. We had seven children at home, and church was just starting. I called her, and I says, how are you doing? How are the kids doing? She goes, you need to come home. So-and-so is living. She had a boy move in with her. One of our members, ladies, had unmarried, had a man, young man that was unmarried move in with her. I said, okay. So I'll come home and see if I can. Here's the problem. The reason why I came home is it wasn't the lady that called and told Brenda, it wasn't a relative. It was a unsaved lady that we've been trying to get to church that lived across the apartments that called my wife. One of your members is shacking up. So I drove up, went straight to this young lady's house and got in there, and the man had just walked out the door and said he had to go somewhere. And I said, what is going on? She had two or three kids, so I felt safe to come in. And I sat down. I said, what's going on? She goes, well, he's a friend, and he needed a place to stay. I said, well, I know he has relatives in town, so kick him out. She goes, why? Appearance of evil. It doesn't matter if you're doing bad or good. I said, you know who called me? Right over there. Your neighbor who's unsaved called me. That's an appearance of evil. Come on, amen. Let's be careful with those things. We could go, well, everything's in it. It still appears evil. So let's be careful. Okay, down at the bottom, application. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Results from brotherly kindness. Number one, let me just say these because we don't have time to go through these, but write these in. Sanctified by God. Sanctified. Sanctified. Preserved blameless. The Lord wants to sanctify His church. So we got sanctified by God and preserved blameless. The Lord wants to sanctify us. He wants to separate us. I think it was Cheryl. So the people will know we're Christians. Let our light shine so they can see our good works. The Bible says, there's a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall they, the world, know that you're my disciple. If ye have love one for another, brotherly kindness shows forth that we are His children. We're different. We're not like the world that bites and chews on each other. We shouldn't do that. Come on, amen? Not especially as much food as we have around here. And He says that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So unity in the body. So not only sanctified, brotherly kindness, what's the result? Sanctified by God. When we start loving each other, we're going to be known as the church that loves each other. Not the church that gossips about each other, not the church that bites and tears each other up, cuts each other down, doesn't like, sits over here because so-and-so sits over there. Come on. It should never be that way. So let's keep that in mind. And then preserve blameless. They shouldn't have evil things to say about us. If there's a problem, we take care of it in-house. Get it done. And then unity. You don't have unity when you have discord. Okay, we already talked about this, but we could say the reason for our brotherly kindness is John 13. I paraphrase that. No, we are His. It shows people what's the reasons. We let people know that we are God's disciples. We are His. We are His disciples. We ought to want people to know that. Number two reason is because He first loved us. Question, has God been kind to you? So we ought to be kind to one another. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You that You are ever true to us. I know this is of God. We need help. Because our natural state, our natural brute beast wants to condemn, wants to fight, wants to preserve our character or our space. We bite and growl sometimes and whimper and murmur when we have difficulties with our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we yield to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to help us. May we be in the Word of God and in prayer to give us strength and courage, mercy and patience and grace for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we live in the last days and there's a lot of hate out there. There's a lot of division out in this world. May we not be divided. Give us strength, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.